Good morning. We're launching into a series on where does the church, this church, stand with regard to Israel. And so as we look into God's Word together, there are some wonderful things that we see the faithfulness of Almighty God. We find that God has been faithful from beginning to end. We find that the Bible is about Jesus in the beginning, and the Bible is the story of Jesus to the end. Jesus came, and Jesus did the Father's will, and we know that Jesus is coming again as the King. And that's really important for us to understand. There are many reasons to believe that God has revived and is reviving the Jewish nation. And he has a purpose in fulfilling his promises to them. Long ago, Jesus was born, and it was prophesied that he would come. That was in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. When Adam sinned, and his wife Eve was deceived by Satan, Adam could have taken the place and stood up for his wife, but he didn't. And in her deception, Adam took the fruit from his wife. And Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us that as by one man, it's interesting, isn't it? It's generic. As by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so all the children that were born into the world after that came with a sin nature. I came with a sin nature, and it's the great leveler of every nation. It's the great leveler of us here today that sin came into the world, and we have been affected by it. And so we need an answer. So let us just pray. Lord, I just pray that you might open your word to our hearts as we look into your precious word. And we pray that you might speak clearly through your scriptures and speak to us by your Holy Spirit to our hearts. And we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. So in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, Adam, whether he didn't communicate with his wife very well, some of us don't, you know. I don't know if you know that. But anyway, he didn't seem to get the message through to Eve. And it says, the Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. That's a pretty plain message, isn't it? And the Lord put one no in paradise. And that no was, there's a tree of good and evil in the center of the garden. And if you eat it, what will happen? You will surely die. Did God mean what he said? Yes, he did. And so when the serpent came and deceived Eve, And she took of the fruit and she handed it to Adam. Adam knew what was going on. His wife didn't really realize, and she was deceived. And so there's a very wonderful verse that really tells us that Jesus is the answer for the problem of sin from the book of Genesis to the end of Revelation. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God makes the pronouncement, and he says in that verse, it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman." He's speaking to the snake, to Satan, and between your offspring and hers, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. So it's really spelled out that God is going to bring a seed, a person, to crush the head of Satan. And we find that Jesus Christ is introduced in, and brought into the world. And we know that in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, a virgin would give birth to a child, and his name would be called Emmanuel. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and when Mary was pregnant, God had to reveal to Abraham that this child was that special child that was actually promised way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And so Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, and Joseph was said, "You will give his name to be Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." And then in verse 23, it says his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. So Jesus had to be both, he had to be a man and he had to be God to forgive our sins. And as we go into this series, we'll look into the promise that God made to Abraham. Now, Abraham was an idol worshiper when God spoke to him. He was in Ur of the Chaldees. He was in Iraq. And God spoke to him. And it seems that he probably spoke to him at night. And he said, "Abraham, I want you to leave your country." How many have done that? "And go to a country that I will show you. I want you to leave your kinsmen." How many have done that? And he spoke to him and said, "And go to the country that I will show you." And then he made some promises to Abraham. He said, "I will make your name great. I will make you a great nation. And those that love you or bless you will be blessed. And those that curse you will be cursed. And in you all nations will be blessed." That's something that we're seeing worked out today in our news. The nations that have opposed Israel, the descendants of Abraham, have gotten into great difficulty. And the nations that have actually stood behind Israel have been blessed and will be blessed. And as a family, we pray for the nation of Israel. The Bible tells us that we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. What happened on October the 7th when Hamas broke through the fence and murdered 1,250 Israelis is a great eye-opener, because they have set their selves against not just Israel, but against Almighty God. And I want you to just, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Genesis chapter 12, first of all, and then Genesis chapter 15. The word covenant is a very interesting name, because it means to cut a deal. And that understanding of covenant is really important for us to rightly divide God's word. So God speaks to Abraham in chapter 12, and he makes those promises. I will bless you, make you a great nation. Is that true? Has he blessed Abraham? Do you think the name Abraham is more revered or accepted? We have a guy that is called Wayne Gretzky, the Great One. Do you think most of the world knows about Wayne Gretzky? Have you ever heard about Abraham? Do you know that Abraham lived 4,000 years ago? And still, he's like a family name. He's a family name in Judaism. He's a family name for all those who name the name of Christ across the world. And he's also called Father Abraham by those who are of the Muslim faith. And not only that, a lot of the nations, Abraham was the father of them. Did you know that? Abraham didn't have any children at this point in time. I know what it's like to go out to a country and not know where I was going. I went to India. I went to India alone. A number of you have come to Canada. This is the country that you have come to from your homeland, right? So we understand the feeling. You land there. You don't know anybody. The language may be something different than what you're expecting. You go to sit down at the table and the food isn't something that agrees with you. The people around about you don't understand your customs. But you're there. And that's what must have happened with Abraham. Imagine he had a 1,000-mile trip with I don't know how many thousands of animals or hundreds. And he had to drive these animals 1,000 miles. And God said, you know, Abraham, I'll tell you when you get there, okay? So every night, Abraham must have, it's time to talk, God. Have we arrived? Have you ever had a carload of kids and you're on a trip and a little kid says, Dad, are we there yet? And you said, no. And a few hours later, you hear the same little voice, and it's the same question. Are we there yet? It must have been like that for Abraham and God. He, every day, for 1,000 miles, he must have had to communicate with Abraham. And finally he said, Abraham, you're there. That must have been a relief, eh? And when he got to the land of Israel, Canaan, there was a famine in the land. But Abraham was glad to be there. And in verse 7, it says, the Lord appeared to Abraham and he said, to your offspring, I will give this land. We need to, here in Canada, we must realize God gave the land that was his to Abraham. And he has never rescinded it. That's something that we need to take into account of. The land was God's, and he gave it to Abraham. So Abraham, it says, built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now when Abraham left, Abraham was an idolater. He worshipped idols across the Euphrates River. He lived in Ur of the Chaldees in Iraq. And he, when God spoke to him, he picked up and left. It was not just jumped in the camper and left. He left with all that stuff. He left his father in Haran in Iraq. He left his brother, and his brother had died. So he took Lot with him, his nephew. And then his father also died in Iraq. And then he carried on to the land of Canaan. Now remember the word I said, a covenant? A covenant is what? It's a cutting of a deal. Have you ever made a deal on a tractor or a combine or a truck? God cut a deal. And this is how the deal went. Abraham had been in the land for a while. And he remembered all the things God had promised him. You're going to be a great nation. You're going to have a great name. And your descendants are going to be like the stars of heaven. And Abraham said, after this, the word of the Lord. Who is the word of the Lord? Jesus. Jesus appeared. He showed up for Abraham. And he said, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your great reward. He just had to go to war because Lot had gone down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he had got captured by the kings that defeated those two cities, and he was up there in northern Israel. And so Abraham took his 318 men servants. Pretty important guy, wouldn't you say? You got 314 herdsmen or tractor operators or, yeah, Abraham was a pretty important guy. And he goes up there and he makes a surprise attack because one of the servants of Lot escaped and came. He knew where to come. He needed to go back to Abraham. And Abraham did come and liberate him. Now, after the battle, Abraham probably needed somebody to say, you know, and it's God speaking, I am your shield and I am your great reward. And Abraham said, where's my family? The guy that's going to be heir of all my property and land and cattle is Eliezer of Damascus in this chapter. And Abraham said, you have given me no children. Problem. Where's all these children and all these promises that you made me? And God said to Abraham, that's not going to be your heir. Eliezer of Damascus is not your heir. you're going to have an heir that comes from your own body. And when Abraham heard this, it says, and Abraham believed God, and he credited to him for righteousness. Is there anything that you can do to earn your way to heaven? Can you pay enough money here or anywhere else and get into heaven? Yes or no? No. No. Can you do anything that will impress God so that he should give you eternal life? No. But when God said to Abraham, I am going to give you a son. I'm going to give you an heir. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did God keep his promise to Abraham? He did give him an heir, didn't he? And Abraham tried to help God out. Time goes by. He's getting to be older and older. He realizes his wife is too old to have children. And so he has a child through their Egyptian handmaid, Hagar. Was that the child that God had promised? Did God need help? No, he didn't. And here in this chapter, we come to understand what it means by covenant relationship. So I'm going to read the covenant that God made with Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of this land? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. And Abraham brought all of these to him, and he cut them up. God is cutting a deal. These animals are cut, and their blood flows down through the valley. And as he got that all done, and the animals are in place, and a dove and a pigeon alongside these three animals, it says, as the sun set, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know of a certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. What's he talking about? Abraham was going to have a family, and they would be taken into slavery. And God even says they're going to be there for 400 years. And then those that they served as slaves afterwards, they will come out with great possessions. This is all God telling the end from the beginning. He's telling the story ahead of time. He's saying, your descendants are going to be slaves in Egypt, and afterwards they're going to take a great possession with them out of the land of Egypt. And in the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here. For the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant. He cut a deal, but it's an unconditional deal. Only God marched and went through the blood. And when Abraham didn't go through the blood, God said, I will be responsible for both ends of this deal. And it, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, and he said, to your descendants, I give this land from the river Egypt to the great river Euphrates, the land of the Kenzanites, the Kenites, and this a whole bunch of ites. And I won't struggle with ites. But whose land is this land of Israel? And where does it start? It starts at the Mediterranean and it goes all the way to the Euphrates River. You know that Israel has never occupied the land that God gave them, and they have to keep trying to make a deal, land for peace. If you just give us a chunk of your Golan Heights, then we will be at peace. No, they won't. This is God's land. He gave it to Israel, and he has never taken it back. And though Israel has not always been faithful to God, God has been faithful to Israel. Did you know that the Bible tells us in, if you have a Bible, look up Isaiah 66 and verse 8. And if you beat me to it, you can read it. No, it's Isaiah 66 and verse 8. And it says, who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such a thing? Can a country be born in a day? Or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor, as a woman in labor, than she gives birth to her children. Do I bring to the moment of birth, God is saying, and not give delivery? Of course. Of course. And the Zionist movement began in about 1897. There was a convention, and Zionists began. And people thought, we need to start learning our old language, because Israel had gone into captivity for 2,500 years. They did not have a language. They did not have a land. They didn't have a government. They had none of those things. And so they began to learn their language. And in the First World War, Britain took back the land of Palestine, Israel, from the Ottoman Empire, which was the Turks. And so it was under the control of Britain. And so Britain devised a plan. It was called the Balfour Plan in 1922. And they finally decided, well, we'll split. There was a objection of Israel getting their land back from the Jordanians, which was the descendants of Esau, not Israel. And so they drew a line down the Jordan River and split the land. But in 1948, there had been a number of people that came back to Israel. And so on May the 14th, according to Isaiah 66, a country was born in a day. It was born on May the 14th, 1948. It became a nation. Isn't that incredible? God is keeping his word. He said, you will be a nation again. Yes, I disciplined you and spanked you and put you out of your land, and you were scattered across the world, and there were pockets of Israelis in every country, and one of the greatest pockets was New York City. New York City at one time had more Jews living in it than the land of Israel. And so the nation of Israel is born in a day. And all the Arab countries said, no, we're taking back that land. And God said, oh, no, you're not. And Israel, with 19,000 trained soldiers, fought against all the countries around about them. And when the dust cleared, Israel was born. Born in a day. That is incredible. God's word is absolutely so powerful and true. We can put our faith in him. And we can know that he's going to say and do what he said he would do. And when I came back from India, it was in 1967. It was in June. And I was planning on just having a little trip, and I was coming home to get married. So I really wanted to get home. I hadn't seen Judy for 2 years during our engagement. And so I was heading back home. And I thought, well, it'd be maybe I'll just land in Israel, right? Wrong. Israel was about to be attacked. And Egypt had billions of dollars of Soviet tanks and warplanes and so on. And Israel made a preemptive strike. It was just before I left India. And so we couldn't land in Israel, of course. But this is called the Six-Day War. And Israel saw a hole in the radar of Egypt and bombed out every airplane, warplane, as it sat on the tarmac. They had no defense. And so in 6 days, the war is over. Israel had gained the Golan Heights and the Temple Mount, which they gave back to the Muslim faith, because that was second greatest, most important worship place, the same place as the Temple Mount is supposed to be. And they gained a lot of territory. There was a little quote or a little picture in Time magazine, and I saw it. It showed Israel and the war and all the troops and stuff out in the desert. There's a little smoke and dust. And so the general sends off a bunch of soldiers. None come back. He sent some more soldiers. None came back. Finally, he sent his whole army out there. And one dirty, dusty soldier came back and saluted, and he said, sir, it was an ambush. There were two of them. It's kind of a joke, but it's not a joke. That's what happened. Israel, again, defeated. It was a miracle. It was an absolute miracle that Israel, again, won in this battle. Again, in 1973, Israel seemed to be defeated. And their enemy stopped. They stopped on the Golan Heights. And Israel was able to reorganize and get equipment. And they won that war as well. Who is sticking up for Israel? It's God. It is God. When you hear of missiles falling into empty spaces, who do you think is doing that? We're going into a series What about Israel? Has God abandoned Israel? No. Even in Isaiah, it says, this barren land, it wasn't barren at that time, but it's described as a barren land. It will blossom as a rose. You can check that out by looking at Isaiah, Isaiah 27 and verse 6. I'll just read that. It says, in the day to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill the world with fruit. Guess who is the greatest fruit producer supplying it to Europe? Israel. That barren waste land has been turned into, and it's called like the Garden of Eden. It has become so productive. God is helping them. They have discovered what drip irrigation can do. They send the water and it drips on just the plant. It is so exciting to know what God is able to do. Do you believe that God is able to take care of you? If he's able to resurrect a nation that has been gone out of the land for 2,500 years, and it came to life in a day, he can also do that for us. You see, even in the beginning, God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, we can say no to God, and God will accept. He will accept our answer. That's a scary thing. I am thankful that as a young person at Beth Bible Camp, I heard the gospel. And I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He totally changed the direction of my life, I'm sure. I could have been a farmer. And that's not a shot at any farmer. I think all farmers have to be believers in God, because they have to be. They do different math than anybody else in the world, and it works. God does that too. So anyway, I want to tell you that we as a group here, as a church, we are going to look into prophecy. What God has promised to us, but what God has promised to Israel, it's all about Jesus. He was the one that the seed of the woman would crush the head of Satan. And he is going to be the king in the coming day. And one day the Bible speaks of another wonderful time when there will be a thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ as he sits on the throne of David. Yeah. Let us, as people, bless Israel. Not only will that blessing be upon them, God promises to bless us as we bless Israel. I can't see it. It's time to quit. But it's really hard to get into a subject that the Bible says that, or the Bible doesn't say that, but people say that 25% at least, or a third perhaps of the Bible, is prophecy. Prophecy is God telling the story before it happens. Just like God told a story of what would happen to Abraham's children. They would be slaves in Egypt and then come out, and God would establish that nation. Read through Ezekiel 36. With your pen, write down things that are really happening today in Israel. Ezekiel 36, 37, 38, and 39. Read Jeremiah chapter 29 through 31. Tells about God's new covenant. It also tells us that if the sun stops shining and the moon giving its light, and we probe the depth of the earth and all the space that's above us, then Israel will no longer be a nation. How long is that? I think God's in control, don't you? Boy, that's a help, because when we think of all the stuff that we are supposed to change so that we can, you know, climate change and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, science and the Bible are not in opposition to each other. It's just that science and God He made science, so it works. And yeah. Anyway, enough said. Time to carry on some other week. Lord, I just want to thank you. Lord, you are the one. You are the one that was the seed of the woman, and that you came. You were born in Bethlehem. You were not only our Savior. You are the seed of Abraham, as Hebrews chapter 2 tells us. And you came with a purpose. You came to die, but you came to die and to destroy the work of the devil. And, oh, Lord, we so look forward to the fulfillment of that promise. And we pray, Lord, we don't want anyone to not enter into that covenant relationship with you, Lord, to believe you, to take you as each one can have Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and have the life exchange to eternal life that you promised through Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.